Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher and a current college professor, and I'm passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. So in this podcast, we explore strategies, tools, and ideas to empower students with voice and choice. I also share some of those big epic fails that I've made along the way with the hopes that we can all learn together. Although we tend to focus on empowering students, we're doing this summer podcast and blog series on the idea of empowering educators. And in particular, empowering educators to own our own professional learning. I believe that empowered teachers empower students, and it has to start with us. Before we get started, I just wanted to point out that today's episode is brought to you by Vooks. Vooks is a streaming library of ad-free, kid-safe, animated read-aloud storybooks trusted by teachers and enjoyed by millions of children around the world each and every week. It is a library of storybooks brought to life to help encourage the love of reading. Now, I had a chance to take a look at these books, and I gotta say, they are awesome. I enjoyed them. I had a blast showing them off to my kids. They really enjoyed them. Check them out. They're pretty cool. They have these beautiful illustrations and animations with compelling stories. And Vooks is offering one free month subscription to all parents worldwide. No purchase necessary. They have the big piece that they're going for is to provide students, children, with 20 minutes a day of read-aloud time and activities. There's a really cool area with lesson plans. You can check it out at vooks.com/resources, and it's great for parents or guardians to access it as well. So again, check out vooks.com. It's a really cool resource, and I'm happy to have them sponsoring this podcast episode. So let's go ahead and get started. Today we're going to be talking about something called mastermind groups. Now, I first heard about mastermind groups when my good friend AJ Giuliani, if you're familiar, he wrote two different books with me. He first mentioned the concept to me, and I didn't like the word mastermind. It conjured up images of like taking over the world or Pinky and the Brain, if you remember Animaniacs. But over time, I kept hearing this word tossed around in the startup world. Then I heard journalists using this word, and I noticed it being used in the nonprofit sector and even in, you know, social justice circles and all kinds of places where people were thinking up strategies and sharing ideas. And I wondered if they were onto something, if there was some kind of value to these kinds of groups. I started exploring mastermind groups to discover how they worked, and I noticed that some of them met in person, some of them existed in virtual settings with like Google Hangouts, but they all had this common theme of providing emotional support while also helping one another with practical strategic thinking. The way a mastermind group works is they are self-initiated and democratic. They meet together to provide accountability, structure, and feedback. That's the core idea. Often they share ideas and give each other feedback on ideas, but also they're solving problems. And unlike other collaborative groups, members aren't necessarily working on shared projects. So a mastermind group as a teacher is probably not going to be necessarily the team of teachers that you're working with. You know, one of the values is that they're a little removed from the projects that you're doing, and that allows for better feedback and everything. And they often affirm each other. Members are intentional about listening, but really it is solutions oriented. The goal is to provide insights and advice, and that's what makes them different from, say, you know, a support group. Currently, I'm part of a couple different mastermind groups. One is that first mastermind group that my friend AJ invited me to join. We focus mostly on our creative endeavors. We're all makers of some kind. And it's entirely unstructured with random conversations about creativity hacking and productivity ideas and things that we want to make and how we're going to share them with others. I think it was about 2 years ago, we did a hot seat, and this was much more structured. I'm going to be sharing what the hot seat looks like here in a moment. And that was where we shared our goals, our struggles, and our dreams. And then we invited each other to give feedback. And it was a powerful day and a reminder of just how valuable it is to get insights from others. But it was also one of the many ways that mastermind groups have impacted my creative work. I'm also involved in a couple of other mastermind groups. I was part of a mastermind group about scholarship, and we talked about the research that we were doing, and we were all working on our dissertations together. Same kind of idea. And I think it's important that as you form a mastermind group, you have some commitments or rules. Some of these are stated, and some of these are just values. I think it's helpful to state these ahead of time, but you know, as I think about the three mastermind groups I'm a part of right now, you know, one of them, we never went over rules or expectations. These have just formed as, I guess, sort of unspoken norms. And then in two of them, we really negotiated these together. So I'm going to share an example from one of them. One is focus on solutions. We haven't, you know, our goal isn't to just vent and leave it at that, right? Our goal is to really be solutions oriented and to say, look, this sucks. This is hard. It's okay to vent. But ultimately, we want to solve problems here. That's our goal. Privacy is important. And so our second goal is to maintain trust. We have sort of a fight club rule, right? That whatever happens in the mastermind group stays there. Another idea is that it's about the people, not the product. We're all at different places in our creative journey. However, we begin from a very democratic idea that it's about the people rather than the product. In other words, we don't have a pecking order based on success. We don't, you know, it's deliberately democratic. Also, this reminder that, you know, at the end of the day, we're going to be supporting each other. That's our goal. And so, yes, we're going to share products. Yes, we're going to talk about our creative work, but we are going to look out for each other as individuals and as, you know, as people. And so that's a big focus, is saying, look, I care about what you are sharing. I care about your work, but even more so, I care about you. Another one is to actively listen and to offer support. There are some times where we all have neglected our mastermind groups in each of the groups that I'm a part of, but there is this commitment to say we're going to actively listen and to provide support, which leads to the next one: only offer advice when someone asks for it. There's a phenomenon that can happen where you offer too much support or you give too much advice, and it starts feeling like an attack. And so I really think it's helpful to say, we are going to offer advice when someone asks for it. So here in a moment, I'll be talking about the hot seat structure. That specifically encourages people to ask for advice. You know, it could be something as simple as, do you have any ideas on how to fix this? And then that's the green light for people to just give that kind of advice. And then the last one is just be unabashedly geeky. We all have to have a commitment to geek out on these ideas. We have to love the creative journey. We have to love what we're focused on. So let's talk about, you know, what does this mean for teachers? And I think what a mastermind group is, it's sort of like a guild that meets together and everyone talks about their own craft. You know, let's think about it in the classroom. As teachers, what if we formed mastermind groups of our own? What if we created spaces away from the noisy echoes of social media to have a more private conversations? What if we shared our strengths and our weaknesses? What if we told our stories? What if we asked for advice from one another? What if we shared our lesson plans and unit plans with each other so that they could see what's actually going on? I realize that these things are supposed to be happening in schools, right? But I'm talking about something different from a PLC meeting. I'm talking about meeting with people who are often not in your school or not in your department. I'm talking about having something a little more detached where you meet and talk about, you know, how things are actually going and where you give each other feedback on your work. And one of the ways to do this is with the hot seat. Another term for it is a sweet seat. Sweet seat is, I think, a cooler rhyme, but here's the structure. Part one is where you welcome everyone and review roles for the day. You have a facilitator who asks, you know, who wants to go first, second, third, fourth, so on. You often have 4 to 6 people. I don't think more than that is very effective. And in these mastermind groups, you also will have a timekeeper, because it's going to be really important that people stick to a particular amount of time. And then part two is the opening round. This is where the facilitator asks each person to complete the following, and it's really quick. It's rapid fire. You don't want to spend more than 10 minutes total on this part. Right now, I'm feeling blank about blank, and I think it's really helpful to say, you know, whatever that might be, whatever the project is, unit plan. It could be my win for the past week was blank. Regarding my commitment from the last week, I blank. One frustration I'm dealing with is blank. The next is the sweet seat. And the sweet seat, or the hot seat, depending on how you're phrasing it, is timed. We usually have done for smaller groups, 10 to 15 minutes. I actually was part of, you know, hot seat, sweet seat, whatever you want to call it, where we all went through this over the course of a day. And so we each gave each other 90 minutes for our sweet seat or hot seat. But the way this works is the first person uses the time to discuss how they're doing with, you know, whatever the topic may be, with their project, whatever it may be, and then discuss any struggles and challenges and get support from others in the group. Sharing for 5 minutes and then leaving 5 minutes for feedback is generally a really good practice if it's timed for 10 minutes. Now, when we did the 90-minute version, it was much more of a free-for-all, a lot more discussion going back and forth, and really a much richer conversation. But of course, that just takes time. When the timer goes off, it's the next person's turn. We have a rule that nobody is allowed to interrupt the person during the sweet seat time. Instead, this person invites feedback by asking, you know, I'd like some feedback, please. That then leads to part four. Once everybody has gone through their sweet seat, part four is the closing round. The facilitator asks each person to complete the following. My takeaway from this meeting is blank, and they can have whatever takeaway they might have. This week, I commit to blank. You might have a scribe who writes down, you know, whatever it may be for the next week, and that can be really helpful as well. And then there's the optional part of reviewing for the next meeting, assigning facilitator, timekeeper, and scribe roles as well. So, and that's the basic sweet seat process. And I gotta be honest, I love this process. This has been so helpful for me to think through things strategically. And that's what I love about these conversations. There's a real power in the proximity and vulnerability in a mastermind group. Creative work can be frustrating and even scary. But when I share my struggles, I know that I'm not alone. When I hit a wall and need help, I have a group that's ready to offer insights. But it's more than that. As a mastermind group, I think about the one that AJ invited me to. We've grown into a true community. No. We're not even a community. We're more like a group of tight, close friends. And at times, we even feel like family. 2 years ago, when my son went to the hospital, it was not a big deal, but it was scary. His temperature had spiked to 104 degrees. I was thinking about the worst case scenario. He has one kidney, and we thought maybe his kidney was failing. It turned out to be kidney stones. But it was scary. And I remember doing a keynote that day and finding out the news and just crumbling down on the hotel floor like a paper bag and just sobbing, feeling helpless. And I opened up the Voxer app and I went straight to the mastermind group. And I remember asking if they would, pray for me, or if they're not particularly, you know, religious or a person of faith, if they would think about us. And I just talked with them and I shared. I was scared and terrified, but this mastermind group was a bigger support to me than they could have ever known. And that to me is the power of this. A month later, when AJ lost his brother, he talked openly about it. That again was powerful. And, you know, it was this reminder that we exist as a group, not just to share ideas or to share feedback, but to share life itself with each other. And this is what I want for teachers. I know that many teachers already have this. It's not an original idea. But if you can form a community, if you can create a mastermind group where you share ideas and problem solve together, where you are solutions focused, where you can also, though, share your journey and your stories and grow close together, that is one of the best ways that you can own your professional development as a teacher. Hey, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you like this podcast, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or Spotify or wherever it is that you get your podcasts? Again, thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.